Hey everybody, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless, and what I want to talk about today is, I had a couple conversations this morning. I'm going to be honest with you. I just sort of whipped this off real quick, and the reason is things just drive me crazy in the business. You know, I try to help people, and you find out some of these people are not as honest as you'd like or whatever, and it just sort of frustrates me. I'm not going to name names or anything, but anyway. So I had two things I was going over this morning, and that's why I called today, I named this blog, Tower Injuries, Price of Doing Business. Is this the price of doing business, the injuries of fatalities? I don't think so. Let's just start with that up front. I don't think it's the price of doing business, but I got to be honest with you. When you look outside the industry, they think that is a price of doing business. I mean, it's just assumed, well, what do you expect? It's a high-risk job, and it is. But we got to do everything we can to make it safe. So there were two conversations going on. I had one the other day where someone told me someone got hurt, and they were telling me, well, the lawyers came in and said, what do you expect? That's the price of doing business. Price of doing business when you do work for carriers. Can you imagine? I mean, honest to God, I guarantee you the carriers don't want that reputation. I guarantee they don't want that reputation. And yet, there's a legal system. Well, what do you expect? That's the price of doing business. I mean, it really ticks me off. I don't even know what to say to that. I mean, that shouldn't be the price of doing business. I mean, it just pisses me off when people act that way. Like, what do you expect? Hey, I get it. There's high risk things. Things happen, right? But we had 11 deaths this year. And I can see the perception, but we have to change that. You know, it's just something that we have to change as an industry. Every one of us has to change that. We have a black eye right now. Do you understand that? Can we shape up? I think we can. And you know what? When I was at TIRAP at the conference, I spoke to Liz Day. And if you don't know who Liz Day is, I got links in there. She's one. She worked for ProPublica. She did report after report on safety. For the tower climbers, why things are as bad as they are. And she really brought it to light. And, you know, they had that special on public TV, and they talked about it. And I put some links in there. You can see who Liz is, and you can do a search on it. Anyway, one thing she said the two that I remember, okay, and I'm not going to quote her here. It was casual conversation, but there were two things, and this is common with everybody in the industry. There's two things that came out. One was safety, and one was getting paid. Those two issues were big. People are very open with safety. Everyone's got an idea how to improve safety. You know, it's a big deal. Nobody wants to talk about not getting paid. It's a trickle effect, you know, but the two are intertwined. They go hand in hand. Everyone wants to talk about how to make the industry safer, how to make it better in that respect as far as safety goes. And that's why I'm so grateful that the FCC, the Department of Labor, got together and did the, they put together TIRAP and they did the conference, and they're doing everything they can to help. And I know, you know, they're trying to do something, because we had 11 deaths this year. 11 people died in this industry this year. 11. 14 last year. Let's pray to God there aren't any more deaths. It's November. This podcast is in November. Let's just pray that we can stop the bleeding. There's a lot of casualties this year too. And there's casualties I know about. You know, I mean, think of all that we don't know about. Think about that. Think of all the near misses. Think of everything that could have, would that could have happened, or that did happen, that we don't know about. I was talking to another guy about an accident in California. I didn't write about this here, but I'm trying to get the details, but this guy wasn't trained properly. He had the wrong gear on. He was, you know, the guy was like 300 pounds. He shouldn't have been up there in the first place. Not a healthy guy. And it's just, unfortunately, instead of making the industry better, the leadership in this industry just wants to cover things up. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, they would rather beg for forgiveness. But let me tell you something. I know in business, that's a common term. You know, you'd rather beg for forgiveness than ask for permission. But when it comes to safety and leadership, there is no begging. There is no asking. If something happens, it's too late. Something happened, okay? If there's an accident, it's too late. The accident happened. So that's, you know what? why the bad reputation? Why do we have a bad reputation? This industry has a bad reputation. If you don't think it does, ask anyone who's near the industry, and they'll say that's the price of doing business, tower injuries. Well, what do you expect? Tower injuries, or injuries, tower climber injuries. What do you expect? It's very frustrating. We really have to change the face of this business. I appreciate, again, I'll probably say it till I turn blue. I appreciate the FCC and the Department of Labor at least being proactive. You know, they created the website for tower climbers. It's a start. They created TIRAP. You know, they're trying to set standards out there. They're trying to set the training. I have all links in there, and I did blogs about it. So what could happen? Let's look at legitimate failures, okay? There are legitimate failures. Equipment failure happens, does happen. Tower breaks, or there's a problem with something someone tied off on. That's why we have double clips. So we tie off to two things, 100% tie off. But it happens. I happen to know of a fatality years ago where there was a faulty rung on the tower, which, by the way, you're not supposed to clip off on the climbing rung anymore because they're not rated for the weight of a fall. So, but it happens, right? There's things like that that go wrong. Faulty bolts, it happens. Faulty hardware, faulty steel, things happen in the manufacturing process, it happens. There are legitimate things out there that could go wrong. Is it the price of doing business? I hope not. You know, I don't want to have that be the price of doing business. So we've tackled a lot of these problems, right? We're doing everything we can to make everything safer. And so why haven't we done all that we can to make the problems go away? We had 11 deaths this year, people. It's November of 2014, 11 deaths in 2014. In 2013, we had 14 deaths. So let's do all that we can here to make sure that all the stupid problems go away. What do I mean by that? No more injuries this year. A lot of it comes down to training. We're going to be as safe as we can be. We're going to do everything we can to protect ourselves. If something does happen, let's just make sure that we have something legitimate to blame it on. Not lack of training, not lack of certification. And OSHA is going to start going after these companies that do willful violations even harder, I believe. And I believe you won't get to beg for forgiveness. I think that's done, especially if you have a second penalty. And that's something Jed Hester put out there, is that, you know, this company where these where recently these guys died, you know, they got their fine and everything, and I, you know, there's links out there, but they're gonna protest the fines, and I get it, it's $134,000. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just, I don't have it in front of me, but just do research on OSHA's fines. Or, you know what? I do have the link in there for OSHA's communications tower website. I know I'm stammering here. That's because I'm trying to get it up here. But if you go to that link, one thing OSHA's done really well is they put the recent fines in there. Of course, my laptop's slowing down. So they put the fines and everything in there, and you can look at it. You can see what the recent fines are. And my website would come up here. I would, but anyway, it's, here it is. OSHA.gov/doc/topic/communication tower. And I have it in there. I have the communications tower website. But one thing that they've done, they have compliance assistance. And they have standards, they have resources, they have training, they have all this stuff. Now, if you scroll down about midway down, well, a little below midway, they have recent citations. And there you would see it. They have a link in there for Wireless Horizons, 134,000, I think it was, but the link is in there. I'm telling you guys, mark this as one of your favorites on your browser, whatever you use, because it's something that they're going to keep updating, I hope, sort of counting on that. And it's something you can use as a resource to see what's going on in the industry, okay? It's a good place to see what the standards are, and I think it's really going to help us. I don't mean to promote OSHA here. I'm just telling you, this is a resource. It's another tool in your tool bag, so to speak. So this is where you can find the links to TIRAP. This is where you can find the links to different things, the investigations going on and the results from investigations. It doesn't have everything, but it's a good place to start. Anyway, I know I'm off on a tangent. So we're doing all these things for safety, right? So where's the problem? You know what another problem is? And when I was down at the TIRAP conference, I brought this up before, Doug Lee. Let me tell you, Doug's a good man. So he brought up, if you can't get paid, you can't be safe. And I've written about this before. So we got a problem with the pay structure, right? There's a lot of people out there that don't pay, won't pay, that can't finish a job and don't get paid for something like that. I'm not saying that's stupid. Obviously, you don't get paid if you don't finish a job, okay? It's not fair. It's not right. And I was talking with someone who got injured. They can't finish a job. They don't get paid anything. You know, I don't feel that's right. I get it. That's how contracts are written, but it sucks. You know, there you are with an injury. So you got to complete the job. If you're a small company, which I know a lot of guys out there are small companies. I know you have the West or the Mass Techs out there that are a large company. They can just send in another crew. And fortunately, the guys I worked for, we never had an injury, a serious injury when I worked there. But if someone gets hurt, unfortunately, you got to have people to back them up and bring in and finish a job. That's how you get paid. Sucks, but you got to take care of the injury. You might lose a couple days. I would like to think any project manager would understand there's an injury, but you know, some people just don't care. You know, it's just the way it is. It sucks. Some people just don't care. I wish I could change that, but that's the way it is. So the pay structure out there, not everyone gets treated fairly. Not everyone really gets a decent shot at getting treated fairly. They get screwed. They go out there. They don't get paid. And talk about a kick to the crotch, man. Talk about a knee right in the groin. You don't get paid. You can't finish a job. You have an injury. You got everything going against you. What are you going to do? You know? So we all understand that the prime directive of most customers is money in the schedule, money in the schedule. They all have a deadline, right? We have to set realistic deadlines for one thing. I'm going to explain something real quick. One of the reasons deadlines get pushed back, I see this a lot in business. So not going to speak for the carriers here, but we've had other customers that just randomly pick a deadline that is unrealistic. So you talk with them, you try to set a realistic deadline. And here's what happened. I saw this happen a lot. So the lowest bidder wins, right? It's just the way it is, especially in a government. I'll use government here. So I did a government bid where lowest bidder wins. We lost. We weren't the lowest bidder, okay? So you know what happened? 2 months later, lowest bidder couldn't do the job. Not only couldn't they do the job, they didn't start the job. Here, the lowest bidder was just assuming they could get contractors for less money than what they thought. They weren't even going to hire their own climbers. And yeah, it's a sore spot with me, and I'll tell you why. So we were the third lowest bidder. One thing you learn with government, if you don't do the job, or with any customer, you know, you got to start the job. You got to show progress. So one thing that happens is they got to put it out to bid again, or they just start knocking down the bidders. Lowest bidder couldn't do it. Second lowest bidder couldn't do it. So we came in and we did it. We didn't really make much money on the job. We were even a little low. But had my own crews. The minute they said go, we went. As soon as we got the hardware. So you have a lot of things that play into this schedule, right? You need the hardware. You need all the equipment on the bill of materials. So when the customer can't get it after they said they'd get it, then you got to bicker about price over what they're going to pay. You know why? Because they say, well, we sold from, you know, our vendor for this much money. Why don't you guys just get it? And we'll say, all right, we'll get it. It's probably going to be this price plus, let's say, a 20% markup, which is fair. Oh, they don't like that. So we say, just get it. That's all you got to do. But you got to put the onus back on the customer when the schedule's delayed like that. But a lot of times the customer doesn't want to hear it. A lot of times when someone else screws up, they push you harder because they know they screwed up and they make their problem your emergency. All right. I know I'm getting off on a tangent. I'm just speaking from experience there. I'm just telling you guys what's going on. And this isn't even what sparked this. So anyway, you're going to have to deal with things like that. Things like that happen. You're always going to have schedule issues. You're going to be pushed harder for things that are outside of your control. You may or may not get paid. That's what we have to change. So another conversation I had this morning was someone that talked about, they have a list of companies, a database that they say do not use. Of course, he couldn't share it because, you know, there's NDAs, and I get it. You know, there's no slander involved or anything, but there is a list out there of companies that you do not use. You know why? Because they treat climbers bad, they treat their workers bad, they cheat the subs, and it creates more problems than it solves. You know, the whole idea of the chain is when they have contractor after contractor, everyone's supposed to get paid. I get it. Everyone takes a cut. That's the way it is. You have margin on top of margin. That's business. Okay. If the customer could do it all themselves, they would. I know a lot of carriers that try to do as much themselves as they can. They think they're saving money, and I'm all for that as long as they pay their people. I know the customer is going to drag it out as long as they can because they don't want to pay any sooner than they have to. And I know other parts of the business affect how people get paid. Not fair, but that's the way it is. That's the way it is. It just happens that way. I don't mean to throw AT&T under the bus, but look at when they pulled back all that work because I think they were going to do a merger or something. Remember that? Wasn't so long ago. Tons of people got laid off. It filtered down. You know, had a domino effect. That's what I was trying to think of. AT&T said, "Hey, we're not doing the work." MasTech said, "Hey, we just geared up for 300 jobs, and now there's none." So they got to lay people off, and it goes right down the line. You know, it's not fair. It's not right, but that's the way it is. So this morning I was talking to someone about their do not use list, and I found it fascinating that, you know, people know about this, but not everyone has access to this list. So if these contractors have a do not use list because they know they're going to get screwed, you know what happens? A lot of these guys, they just close down business and open up under a new name. I've seen it a lot in construction. People just close down business, they open up under a new name. It isn't right, it isn't fair, but it just happens all the time. So what do you do with something like that? That's where you have to know the names of people. Unfortunately, I don't know why. If someone just screws people in this business, why do they feel the need to stay in this business? But they do. I guess it's easy work. They have contacts. You know, they build a career. You know, I could. That's the way I look at it. I'm still in this business. Built a career around this business. I've done a lot of different jobs. I never really stuck with one particular thing for more than, say, 5 or 10 years. And for all you young guys, yeah, that's right. I said 5 or 10 years. I've done everything from climbing to engineering to RF engineering to alignments to configuration to technical work to business development to sales. Done a little bit of everything. Safety. I've been in charge of safety programs, training programs, and so on. And what does all that mean? It means I'm old. That's what it means. Just been around to see a lot of stuff. Do I know everyone in the business? You know what? No, I don't. You know why? Because people are getting in and out of the business all the time. I knew guys that were in this business 10 years. They get out for 10 years, and then they try to get back in. I do believe that wireless is like a passion with some people. Climbing is like a passion. I was talking to a fellow named John the other day, and he told me about how he just, you know, he said, people that get in the industry, it's a passion. They love it. For whatever reason, they get addicted to it. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm saying that's a good thing because it shows that the industry is exciting and interesting and that you have all kinds of challenges you have to overcome, and yet they're still in it. Some guys get knocked down and get back up again, brush themselves off, they're still in it. There's just so many good people in this industry. You know, I'm talking about all the scum buckets here, but I'm going to use one example only because he was at Tire App. I don't mention many people's names unless they give me permission, but Dave Anthony of Shenandoah Tower Service, he was at the Tire App workshop. Now, there's a guy that practiced what he preaches. He's a good man. You know why? He's done everything to make sure his climbers are safe, and as far as I know, he hasn't had any serious accidents. He's doing a good job. He's out there. He's making sure everything's taking place. And the reason he was at Tire App, he wanted to prove that leadership matters. He wanted to prove that safety can start from the top and work its way down. Okay? I'm going to do another post about leadership. I don't think you have to be at the top to be a leader. Okay? I think anyone in the industry can be a leader. I think any climber can go out there and set a good example. But that's for another post. I'm working on that one. You want to set a good example. So I bring up a good example because that's what we should have. We should have good examples. We should have models to follow in this industry. I'm going to do it in, like I said, another post, but I believe that having a model in the industry, when you look at Tire App and all the people that were there and all the people that care, and I'm not just talking to people up there speaking, okay? I'm talking about the people that are interested in it, that are following it, that really want to see positive change in the industry. Chances are the guys that want to see positive change have already created it in their companies. You get it? People that want to see positive change in the industry have already created positive change in their companies. They've already set an example by making their company the model company so other companies can look at them and model after them. Do they make it a secret? No. What do you think Dave was up there? He's up there to show people that he can do it. That if he can do it, and his motto was, if he can do it, anyone can do it. That's the point here. I know a lot of people just don't get that, but that is the point. We need to have good examples to follow. So now I know I'm all over the place here. I'm talking about all the bad people, and I bring up someone good there as an example, because that's what we need. We need examples out there. One other thing I remember he brought up is that so many of these contractors that bid on this work, and I've seen this, when you're a tower crew and you have people that are working in your backyard and they underbid you, do you ever sit there and get that through your head and try to figure out how the hell does that happen? Here, and Dave brought that up too. He sees people drive right in his backyard in a tower right near him, and he lost the bid because these guys came in cheaper. I just never understood how you can pay per diem and expenses and all that and still come in cheaper than the guy that's 10 miles down the road. I've seen it, and I've done work in people's backyards where, you know, we came in lower. I know there's a lot of things that play into that. Could be scheduling, could be business. It could be sometimes when you're bidding on tower work, you don't fully understand all that's needed, and sometimes you lose money on jobs. You just do. I had to underbid a couple things just to get in with a customer. Did it pay off in the long run? Yeah, I got to admit, 80% of the time, in my case, I'm thinking here. Yeah, I would say about 80% of the time it pays off in the long run. You get that 20% of the time where people just don't care. I've done that too. You know, you bid on things, you take a loss, and then they don't care. They just go the lowest bidder next time. So you got to play it out. I don't want to get into that right now, so I'll move on. Sorry, people. I'm coming back. So I was talking about all the unreputable people in the industry. So I'm going to bring up mostly contractors, turf vendors. I don't see a lot of what happens is a lot of these tower climbers get screwed, and sometimes it's the companies they work for. You just don't know till you work for someone sometimes. And you know what? That do not use list, I don't have access to that. The other thing you got to do, you think you can get on Facebook and filter out most of it? I got to tell you, a lot of you climbers out there are just angry. I mean, you guys just complain about everyone and everything. And that causes problems too. You know why? Sometimes you listen to these guys and you don't work for someone and you realize it wasn't a company, it was a personality conflict, or sometimes the guy that caused the problems is a guy bitching about everything. That's another problem. It's so frustrating that we have to filter through the crap to get to something good. So here's what I propose for the customers, the end customers. Maybe they need a do not use list. And maybe what they need to do is they need to track not only the companies, but maybe the names of these people. I'm not throwing this all in the carriers, but I do know that, you know, the carriers have turf vendors, they have general contractors. The other thing I know that some carriers, when they find someone they like and they trust and they respect, they stick with them. And you know how long they stick with them? Until they screw up. Sometimes it's not the company, it's the person there. Sometimes you get a jerk gets promoted, or you get a project manager who's just careless and reckless and doesn't think things through. And sometimes you get dishonest people. It just happens. So one jerk can make a company look bad. It happens. Is it fair? No. But you know what? Somehow we have to track this. I'm going to put the onus on the customer. It's just an easy way to do it. I do know, there's one company I know, they're an OEM, and when they track people, they have a lot of parameters they track. And what they track is not only the work that they do, but change orders. And you know what? Change orders are a tricky thing. Someone underbids a job and makes some money up in change orders, and trust me, I know I've done a lot of wireless and transportation. It's very common in transportation, very common in construction to make up your money in change orders. Well, that's a good model. You tend to piss people off when they have a budget set and the change orders overrun it. With that said, if the customer misses like 1,000 things in their RFP, that's a request for price or an RFQ, a proposal, a bidding, let's say the bidding process, so everyone understands. So if the end customer misses something in the bidding process, you're going to have change orders. You just are. You can't, sometimes you can't think of anything. And that's why, again, I bring up the scope of work. That's why that's so important, because you need to identify all that. So if the customers had a database of the problem companies, they're going to identify things that say too many change orders, not showing up for work, late, missed deadlines. But you need a reason. You can't just put on there, these guys missed every deadline. Well, let me tell you something. If you're building in Alaska or if you're building in the Northeast, I won't even use Alaska. That's not fair. Alaska takes a lot of planning. Trust me. I bid on jobs for oil and gas up there. So let's say weather becomes a factor. Let's say Florida. Hey, beautiful weather every day. Oh, there's a hurricane coming. We're going to miss our deadline. What are you going to do? So somehow we have to build a database. We have to track the companies, the names, and all this. And you know what? People are going to outsmart that database. They just are. They're going to come up with some workaround. I mean, look at the internet. They always come up with a workaround to screw people. These viruses, they come up with a workaround to get in companies. There's always a workaround. I'm just trying to give you something to relate to. So I really think we're going to have this database. Now, sometimes you can have a good person that works for a bad company and they get a bad reputation because they worked for a bad company. That happens. Been there. You know, sometimes you just work for scum buckets and you don't know it till you're in. When you're in, you need the paycheck. You got to make a living, right? Got to pay the bills. I don't know about any of you guys. I don't have any car payments right now, but I have a mortgage. Anyone out there have a mortgage or rent? I'd say it's a pretty common bill. Anyway, I'm just trying to tell you guys, we have to understand the excuses. And I think a database is a good idea as long as you have an explanation. And I'm a big fan of statistics. So as long as you keep stats of what the problems were, because sometimes if you can just look at one company and say too many change orders, hey, I get it. But depends on the job. Was there a reason for the change orders? Depends who you're talking to. If you're talking to a project manager, he'll say, no, we went over budget. We were late. Yeah, we shouldn't have all these problems. Did he bid the job? Maybe he did. Maybe he just screwed up. It happens all the time. So you just have to work it out with your contractor and customer. You have to understand if your contractor is honest. And if you're the customer, maybe that's what you need to track, how honest they are. I don't think they're going to lie to you, or at least I hope not. You know, things happen. And that one more notch on the belt to say, no, we're not going to work with this person. So with all that said, it's not going to make it easy for you guys starting out, because you're going to have to build up your reputation. You're not going to be able to work for the big boys right away. So you're going to have to work with the smaller companies, and you're going to have to do the best you can. You're going to have to, you as the end contractor, the guy doing the work, the tower climber, whatever, you're going to have to keep your own database. You're going to have to keep things in your head, and you're going to have to understand who is worth working for and who isn't, who pays their contractors and who doesn't. You know, it's an ecosystem, people. What I mean by ecosystem, yeah, the customer and the contractors. We get more of this work, we'll need more of the contractors to do the work. People are going to get into business, get out of the business. People are going to be blacklisted. It's the way it is. Is it fair? No, it's the way it is. So just remember this. I'm coming full circle here. Is that the contractor will have to keep their own database of who they trust and who they don't trust. It's going to be something that I hope someday you get big enough and you get a great reputation and you can pick your customers. Wouldn't that be a great life? Pick your customers. And I got to tell you, one thing years ago, working for the carriers was very hard. You know why? Because the carriers had like either a net 120 or some even had like a net 240. Who can wait that long to get paid? Net 30, baby. Net 30. You got to do business. If you can float the money, great. But you got to get paid, because you know what happens? Let's say it's net 90. End of 90 days, they're going to find a way to either delay payment until you early harass them and tell them you need paid. Not everybody, but I've been there. You know, I've been there. You do a net 60, doing someone a favor. Net 60 days go by. Hey, I didn't get paid. Oh, well, you know, and then they claim they find something on the checklist or anything. So due diligence, people. Do your paperwork. Do your closeout packages. Verify it. And I wouldn't wait that 60 days. That was stupidity on my part. I thought I'd get paid. I had the acceptance, and they always make things up or they come up with other things. I would find a way right away to get sign off. A signature is a big deal. So I have no problem with that. And that's one thing I would do as a contractor. Even the customers need signatures. They say, I need you to sign this saying you're done. I had no problem doing that. So All right, everyone. Work hard, be safe, be smart, pay attention. Okay. I want no more fatalities in at all if I had my way, but let's just right now, let's set a realistic goal. No more fatalities through 2014. Wouldn't that be great? Let's say through January of 2015. No more injuries if we can help it. I would like to say there are no more injuries, but I don't know what's out there we don't know about. Anyway, be smart. All right, let me start over. Be safe, be smart, pay attention. Thanks, everyone. Have a good week.